Link up, friends, on this Christmas season with somebody. He's the chief executive officer, the CEO of Concern USA, Concern Worldwide, Joe Callan. And Joe, you're very welcome to the program.
Thanks, Adrian. Merry Christmas to you.
And to you as well. Of course, you know, each Christmas, and particularly Christmas season, brings its own joy and celebration. But we are always mindful and should be about those who, in fact, have little to celebrate, where existence becomes their Christmas gift. And first of all, I in welcoming you to our program, when we think of Concern and Concern Worldwide, the Irish agency founded by the Fanucan priests back in the mid-60s, you also think of how the type of work Concern is involved in just continues. You don't get a breather in some parts of the world, but perhaps you'll tell us what Concern is actually doing and what this year's challenges are.
I'd be happy to, Adrian. You know, and that was a very good preface. We were started by the Fanucan brothers. One passed 5 years ago. The other, Jack, is still very much with us and actually on our board here in the U.S. So He's been a terrific ally. We're currently in 26 countries, all of them in the poorest 40 in the world. And for some reason, it seems that this Christmas, the needs and the challenges are even greater. We have people on the ground helping the Syrian refugees. They're along the Lebanese and Turkish border, where people continue to flee the political violence and war in Syria. We have people in South Sudan that are still in the midst of a war, and because of it, facing a terrible famine that is not probable but certain in parts of the country this winter. And, of course, we're in West Africa fighting Ebola, which does not seem to be abating anytime soon. So no shortage of particular crises. And then our ongoing work of just providing education and health care and livelihood skills for the poorest, literally, Adrian, the very poorest people in the world.
You know, my guest friend is Joe Callan, CEO of Concern USA. Ebola came to all of us and worldwide as the threat of, you know, something like a plague. It was presented as something that indeed was a killer. The success rate of dealing with Ebola was negligible. We then found that a lot of media took indeed a new slant on it when Ebola, for at least for the United States, came and went, and then we saw a kind of, a cruel reevaluation of it, saying, you know, what was all the hoopla about? Wasn't that big a deal anyway? As if somehow Ebola worldwide just disappeared. That was it. So it was a big threat, and maybe we overreacted. Maybe the United States, maybe the president, just overreacted to the whole thing. What happens, you know, when you and those involved in concern, you know, get that type of message. A, is it anger? Is it, you know, if you feel that it's a cynical approach to something as deadly as Ebola?
Well, it's I wouldn't say we get angry, but it is sometimes frustrating and disheartening because you know better than anyone that the news cycle is very, very fast. I was struck by that terrible violence that we just saw in Pakistan, that murdering of
often,
children and
yeah.
their teachers. And because of announcing a better relationships ahead with Cuba, it faded from the
yeah.
public consciousness seemingly overnight. So we always face that, but we understand it. But to give you a little context, the crisis here in the United States, thank the good Lord, has been managed very, very well. And just to give you a little context, I just saw the other day, Adrian, that for every 100,000 people in the United States, we have about 250 doctors.
Wow.
In Liberia,
mm.
we have one, and in Sierra Leone, two. And those are the countries that that concern is in fighting this. So the infrastructure to deal with something like this is close to non-existent. And there the problem is still very, very great. More than 5,000 deaths in Sierra Leone and Liberia, and, you know, dozens and dozens of new cases every day still being reported. So there is still very, very much a huge problem.
Can we be forgiven, or is it an excuse when we think that the United States and, for that matter, many other countries in the Western Hemisphere pour all kinds of support, foodstuffs, medicine, and in fact that the product is there and it is somehow getting to these people, but then the corruption, which is beyond our control, is something. I'm just trying to focus on why it is that it becomes kind of easy for us to say, well, look, what more can we do? All of this, what we hear is the tremendous generosity of, say, the United States in helping out in these areas, and how much can we do individually to make that better?
It's a great question, and I'd never I'd be the last person to judge, you know, what somebody else should do or what people's capabilities are. But we do have an obligation to our fellow man that's in these sorts of situations, and the people we're helping didn't invent corruption. They're the victims of it,
yeah.
And there's a certain amount of it. I'd be lying if I said anything different, but. But I think that does get exaggerated. The amount of corruption does get exaggerated
right.
in the media. But as I say, it's not the poor victim's fault. And I'll go back to the way you started this interview. Angus Finucane, the other
Angus,
brother,
yeah.
His mantra is still on the tip of every tongue in the concerned world, and it's to do as much as you can, as well as you can, for as long as you can, for as many as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're focused on what we can do, not what we can't do. And we can do a lot. I'll give you one mm-hmm. example on the Ebola thing, Adrian. It's the last thing in the world. If you told me we'd be doing this 3 or 4 months ago, I'd say, yeah, we're too much into the bottle or something. But mm-hmm. we're responsible, concerned, for overseeing the burials of Ebola victims in Freetown, in the capital of Liberia, where the largest concentration of people are. And there, just by burying bodies safely and with respect, we've gone from 30% safe burial to 98%. And that, over the next few months, will have a dramatic impact, because that's the biggest source of spreading, of course, the diseased bodies of people who die of Ebola.
Right.
So a lot can be done.
Ebola, can we even think with some degree of justification that Ebola is under control?
It's a tempting thing to say yes, but I think that we're a little premature on that. I'd say that it's getting under control. There have been some heartening statistics in the last few weeks, but it could erupt again. You know, the infrastructure there, as I said, is so poor that I wouldn't say it's under control, but I would say it's getting better.
It's getting better. In the meantime, we've highlighted maybe Ebola at this point because this is so fresh. But the work of CONCERN and CONCERN Worldwide just seems to be ongoing, which is precisely how the founders thought of that and conceived the notion that there would be trouble, that this would be, that this need would be a continuation of what the Irish missionaries did in the first place. Nobody, I think, underlined better than Father Angus Finucane and Jack, the brother, Father Jack, that in fact, we perceived, many of us on both sides of the Atlantic, that these missionaries, the missionaries from Ireland, the priests and the nuns, they went out to grab all of these pagans, as we perceived them to be, by the scruff of the neck, and tried to make good Catholics out of the whole job lot of them. The notion, and obviously as time went by, we got to know, and again particularly through CONCERN, that the work of the missionary, that whatever our perception was, that actually these missionaries went out to, the poorest places in the world, and that contrary to what we felt, like Cromwell coming to Ireland with the sword, that these missionaries actually went out and had to deal with the practical aspects of poverty, of oppression, and that really hasn't changed that much over the decades.
You're absolutely right, and Angus and Jack would be the last people in the world actually to focus on the missionary part of this. They were there to save lives in Biafra, Nigeria, during a horrible famine. And you mentioned the Irish. The Irish per capita are the most generous people on the earth. The Republic of Ireland, the people in the Republic, give more per capita to charity than any other country in the world. And I think that the Irish American diaspora here in the United States would fit into that that profile very well. I don't have any data on it. Very generous people here.
Yeah, and again, sometimes and we have to say, well, through thick and thin, this is not something that the data you're referring to. One thing we do know, that in spirit, that yes, the Irish per capita, good times and bad. Celtic Tiger and in the aftermath of the massive downturn and everything, the Irish have that tremendous ability to rise to the occasion and to really care about, what happens and what is happening throughout the world. And to whatever degree anybody can help in that area is one of the reasons that we welcome you this morning, because what we do know is that concern worldwide and concern USA, under the chairmanship of Tom Moran, who's chairman of Concern Worldwide USA. He's also the chairman, the president, CEO of Mutual of America. And you, as CEO of Concern Worldwide US, you do reach out and say that not only is it a good idea, but it is as necessary today as at any time in the past.
I would absolutely underline that. I would say more so. I believe it's fair to say that there are more displaced people because of earthquakes and typhoons and civil wars and genocides today than at any time in history.
To learn about Concern and Concern Worldwide, can you give us the website, phone numbers?
Sure. I'd be happy to. The website is probably the easiest vehicle.
It's sure.
Concern, just as it sounds, concernusa.org, O-R-G.
Right.
And the phone number is 212-557-8000. That's 212-557-8000. And if anybody, Adrian, if I can do a shameful plug here, if anybody is so inclined to help us, no amount is too small. I'll give you one example. For a $20 donation, we can give a family a solar-generated radio that we're using to deliver education in Liberia and Sierra Leone to the 3,000 children that are out of school because of this Ebola epidemic. So $20 even could go a long, long way. And from now until the end of the year, the first $50,000 that we raise is being matched by an anonymous donor, a great Irish-American family in New York that's matching the first $50,000 that we raise, starting yesterday, actually, until the end of the year.
You know, as we look at our Christmas and our Christmas shopping and you know, our Christmas budgets, when you think that one, you know, measly $20 can actually do so much for a people who have nothing. I mean, it wouldn't be an exaggeration to say by our standards they really have nothing.
Yeah. Well, almost half the population in Sierra Leone and Liberia, but in many of the other countries where we're working, half the population live on about $1.25 a day.
Oh, my God. Thank you for joining us. And again, friends, while we're all busy trying to figure out, you know, what to what level we are rising to the annual occasion of gifts, as little as $20 can make a difference like that. I think that says it all. Thank you.
Adrian, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, you're very, very welcome indeed. Friends, it is Concern, USA.org, not .com, Concern, USA.org. And we're delighted indeed to welcome Joe Cahillan, CEO of Concern USA, and indeed to indeed know that in the midst of all of the approaches towards Christmas and whatever, that the work of Concern is just phenomenal. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network USA. I suppose the 11 o'clock news is running a bit late today, but never mind. We will We'll link up now with Kevin O'Connor in a few minutes with something as significant and as important as concern and the Christmas appeal to whatever level. Again, the toll-free number is 1-800-CONCERN, and the website again is concern, concern .org, O-R-G, as in tax-free organization.